welcome to the 449th consecutive week of Cinema PsyOps. I'm your host, Court, the guy that is really, really, really kind of glad that at least this week's movie was way better than last week's movie, but still really regretting his Al Adamson box set purchase. And joining me in that consternation is my co-host, Matt.
Start a biker gang.
We should start a biker gang?
Yeah, let's start a biker gang.
Interesting thing about the reason that this is now called Angels Wild Women and not the Screaming Angels that it was originally going to be, and why a lot of this takes place in a really weird hippie cult. Initially, it was going to be just a straight up biker film that Al Adamson and crew made, and the bottom had dropped out of the biker genre by 1971.
Oh, so then he added in the cult.
Yes, it was another one of those reshoots and things that were added in, and it's a very interesting story that I don't want to spoil.
No, man.
Into where the cult is located, and then it's going to blow your fucking mind.
Oh, all right. Oh, man, I almost forgot to tell you, I'm having a schedule change in my life.
Uh-oh.
My work, my part-time job, which has me, you know, going till like 11 o'clock at night, is no longer doing that to me, and I now work till 9 p.m. at night now, but I started earlier. Hmm.
So what we could probably do is start recording nighttime during the week, individual sessions on one of the weeks or something like that, and give you your weekend back completely.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, we'll have to see. We'll play it by ear, see how your schedule goes, see how you feel about it, see if you could.
Yep. Maybe. I start tonight, 4 to 9.
Oh, well, I know you need to get out of here since you just said that. And I have a concert tonight in Lincoln, so I got to get out of here. So
you got to get out of here, too. Let's do it.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't really recorded a whole lot of patter, so we should probably give the audience a little bit of that, because once we start dropping clips, this show's going to be very short.
I thought we were pattering right now.
Well,
we
this is more or less us just revealing our schedules are changing to the audience. Yeah. And that's not really patter. That's just podcasters talking about their lives, and people don't like that.
I mean, I thought that was patter, but you know what? I'm starting to get really hurt. So
I'm not sure what is pablum and what is patter anymore. I'm not even sure what the audience likes, because we barely hear from them. And when we do, it's usually like, no, it's okay. You can keep going. Please don't stop. Like, it's only when they're afraid we're going to actually quit that we hear from them.
When there's the fear that we're going to go away.
Right. And you can only pull that, like, I'm losing it on the air, Alex Jones horse shit, where you're like, maybe I'm just going to quit and no one will ever hear from me again, so many times before your audience is like, oh, he's pulling that shtick out again.
Only so many times you can start yelling about frogs and gayness, and then, you know.
I don't feel like doing that at all. You sound better this recording. Yeah. 2 weeks later.
Oh, I feel much better now. Yeah. So
we're both at least healthy, you know, even if I can't get a decent hit before we actually start recording the show, because both my pipes are clogged. And I'm talking about weed here and legalized hemp.
Yeah.
Weed.
Weed.
Yeah, my shit is clogged right now, and I don't have the time to go and unclog it before we finish the recording. So I'm going to be doing this relatively sober, which, you know, that means I'm going to move you in quicker, probably.
Yeah, let's get going.
Yeah, there's something really to look forward in this week's episode for Angels Wild Women that was released in 1971. Originally shot as the Screaming Angels, like we said. So the biker footage was all there, and you can definitely see the rough biker movie they were trying to make. But then they had to do this pivot and then sort of made the bikers the heroes after people lost interest in biker movies. And that twist was just enough to make this the success that they needed out of all the footage they shot.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, hey, listen, sometimes there's happy endings and everything.
Yeah, this film has a sort of bittersweet happy ending. One couple gets to go on and be happy, and then one couple does not.
Yeah, and that's sad.
But not a bad cult film, even though it was like reshot to be one, and a sneaky cult film at that. I will say, I don't want to spoil it just yet, but it is way more authentic than people will understand unless they know what I'm talking about and they've already seen the trivia on the film. So,
Well, there you go.
I've been holding this trivia in for a couple of different movies that Al Adamson shot for a while now. And now is the time to definitely tell it, because you can't hide it anymore.
All right, man. Well, Jesus Christ, let's get into it.
All right, we're going to have to do the coverage of the film. But up first on the Pirate Radio edit this week, all songs from 1970 and 1971. And these are various hits from various folks. Nothing like the deep cuts of Black Sabbath that I chose last week. So Matt can still be really upset with me about that. That's totally fine.
Yeah, still am. Still hurt. I'm not mad, just disappointed.
Up first, a sort of holdover from the psychedelic era from the late 60s, 1970s Gideon's Bible from John Cale, right after the Legion Patreon.
This'll keep you quiet.
Oh, hi there. I didn't see you. You caught me cutting a new show.
I'm Bo Ransdell, and I'm one of the many creators you can find on Legion Podcasts. I said quiet! My fellow podcasters and I work hard to bring you the best in horror podcasting, but that comes at a cost.
Wouldst thou like to live deliciously?
Not that, but also yes. No, what I'm getting at is that there are server costs, costs for good microphones and software for editing, all the things that make our shows, you know, fun to listen to. And you can help. If you're enjoying the shows on legionpodcasts.com or in the Legion Network available on iTunes and Stitcher, just about anywhere you can download a podcast, really, you can help us out and get a little something for your trouble at patreon.com/legionpodcasts. For just $2 a month, you get a pair of movie commentaries exclusive to Patreon, and for $5, you can also join us for a monthly screening of a movie. All of that available on patreon.com/legionpodcasts. We appreciate it, and thank you for listening. Now, back to the cutting room.
Yeah, there's no way that exists anywhere else than 1970s or 60s. Yeah.
Yeah, it's dubious as to when this film was actually shot versus when it was released, just like all of Al Adamson's other stuff. But let's talk about Angels Wild Women, released in 1971.
All right, Angels Wild Women, the first 20. Well, we see a woman. She's running from a couple dudes. It should be noted, because this does get kind of important, that this is a black woman, and she's running from two white guys. So, you know, it's obviously not good.
It's an Al Adamson film. They're trying to rape her. It's obvious.
Yeah, obviously. So they finally catch up to her. She tries to fight them off. But there are all sorts of racist about, hey, you know, you got your civil rights. How civil can you be type shit? And you're just like, wow, you guys are gross. And sure enough, they attack her. But it cuts away.
They rip her boobs out of her bra and play with them on screen, which is meant to be titillating for us, but is absolutely not, because it's just disgusting. And thankfully they cut away after that, but it was still just gross enough.
Exactly. Then we cut to a dude and a lady. They're on a bike. They're driving around. Then we cut to a movie being shot. At first you're weird because they don't tell you it's a movie, so you see a Nazi shooting a bunch of men and you're like, what the fuck, where are we at now, movie? And then you realize it's a movie shoot, and one of the actors sits next to the lady who was just on a motorcycle, and he starts flirting with her, and that is our first clip.
You know, I've been watching you all afternoon. You interested in flicks?
Honest ones.
What about this one?
I'll let you know after I see it in the drive-in.
All right, I'll buy that. Now, what about us, babe?
There isn't any us.
Oh, no, I can't buy that. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm called Turk.
Donna.
Hey, Donna. You interested in bikes?
Sometimes.
Hey, well, right on. You're really a fox. You know that? You really are. You know, I get this bike, and I just bet the three of us could really get it on. Natural high, total freedom, with just the wind blowing our minds. Or whatever, because wherever your head's at, old Turk can sure take care of it. Hey, now, listen, I don't know what's hanging you up, but I don't make these kind of offers every day.
FYI, I trimmed down all of your fucking clips and removed the noise with new techniques that I've discovered solely from dealing with Al Adamson's horse shit. So all of your clips are now less than 2 minutes, and some of them are less than 1 minute.
Well, yeah, and it would have been that way in this show anyway, this movie anyway, because there's not a lot of dialogue. Anywho, that little sound at the end you heard was the guy, the lady's boyfriend, who's the guy on the bike earlier, and he smacks the guy and knocks him out. Then we cut back to the two racist assholes. after they're getting dressed after raping that woman. And so they're all the biggest douches ever. And they get their comeuppance because her friends show up and they are all armed. And it's a bunch of ladies. They're all armed and they show up and he's like, OK, you know, great. Let's get it going. And they start beating the shit out of all the guys and like whipping them and choking them and kicking them in the crotch constantly, which is all good.
Oh, this is all amazing. So they beat
the shit out of them. Yeah. Then we cut back to the biker guy. He's driving with his lady and he runs into a rope and wipes out. And we see it's the actor guy who did it. So they start a fight and then a motorcycle chase. This is a lot of padding, by the way. The actor makes a pretty big jump and the biker guy pulls because he's not going to try to make the jump. And they actually have a little moment of respect where they kind of nod to one another like, Jesus, all right, you know, these guys ain't, you know, they're for real.
Yeah, so that's a weird thing that they have going on there. But this padding in the film also does have some excitement and the motorcycle stuff is actually kind of cool. And
yeah,
I'm okay with what they were doing here. Like this almost carny trick worked on me. Like,
yeah,
this is at least entertaining padding.
Oh, yeah, it's very entertaining. The biking was good. Even the fight scenes weren't half bad. I mean,
yeah, they're like late 60s Western style fight scenes, right?
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't too bad.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible, but it was entertaining enough and they're flinging themselves at each other enough to where it's fun.
Yeah. So with all of that, and after they kind of have that head nod, that's the end of the first 20 minutes. And that's just how quickly that first 20 minutes goes, because there's not a lot of talking.
No, it was all padding. It was all action. We can keep moving because let's get that momentum while we're going. It's fine by me.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Sweet. All right.
So later on,
yeah, right. The biker's lady is clearing his wounds. And then they kind of kiss and you can tell they are very much in love. This is not some like, he does not treat her like, you know, just being terrible to her or anything like that. He's very much in love with her.
Quick question for you. Did your version of the film not show her taking her top off to soak it in water to clean
it? Yes, it did.
Okay. You didn't mention that?
Should also mention that.
That's a thank you movie because that's consensual showing of the boobs.
Very consensual. Yes. And she took it off, man.
And their weird kissing sequence they do after this with like days upon days of them supposedly in love and making out is actually kind of, if you're into watching people make out, I suppose, is kind of entertaining. It didn't really do much for me. I was like, okay, we'll get to the serious stuff.
Yeah, right. Let's get going here.
I can watch people kiss. I mean, I can do that all day. That's no problem, but that doesn't really do enough for me. Can we move on?
Yeah, let's get going here.
Which so, they don't.
No, they don't. They just show the kissing, but it's stated that they hooked up. Then they're on a beach and they're attacked by a rival gang and he beats all the rival gang members up to the point where now that rival gang is joining his gang because that's just how it goes.
Yeah. The guy that leads that gang said that he couldn't come into this territory anymore.
Yeah.
And then he said, let's have a fight to find out who's going to be the final leader. And the fight was he had to fight the entire gang who he bests.
Yes, he does. He got him.
Okay. It was cool. This sequence actually worked.
Yeah, it wasn't half bad. It was a pretty good fight. Yeah, it was like, all right, you know, they're on rocks, so it made it like harder for some of these guys to stand on them and stuff. And they at least made it somewhat believable that, yeah, he took all these guys out.
Yeah, yeah, they do. It's again 1960s Western style of slugfest. The guys are very patient in taking their turns, but I agree with you. It's the non-sure footing of the rock that makes them not want to lunge at him too much. And he does use that to his advantage because he clearly does not give a fuck, because one way or another he's going to get fucked up, so he might as well deal damage before he does.
This guy is a serious zero fucks given kind of guy.
Yes, the field upon which his fucks were grown has barren. Yes,
yeah, it is now barren. Okay, so we're back at the main biker camp now, and one of the ladies there is severely addicted to drugs. And she's trying to take some like more drugs off a guy. And he like puts a knife to her throat and calls her a junkie. So then the lead female, she kind of gets up, puts a knife to that guy's throat. It's like, hey, calm the fuck down. Then she calls over for Preacher. And that is our next clip.
Preacher?
Now, Margot, you know the good Lord not approve of such carryings-ons.
Preacher?
Margot, I got up-me's and down-me's. I got white ones, red ones. Hey, we better wait for speed.
Hey, man, come on over here. Hey, brother.
What'd you bring them for?
I don't know.
So what's new?
Oh, nothing much. Oh, yeah, that creep from Satan's was here last week. He came to tell me about the run.
Yeah, when is it?
This weekend. Remember what we decided last year? You remember the deal.
What deal?
No broads. I mean, no ladies. We had too much trouble fighting over them last year.
Oh, my gosh. Look, I'm sorry. I'll only be a couple of days, and why don't you and the rest of the girls go on up to Crescent Park and wait for us there, huh?
Okay.
Okay. Come on.
Okay.
All right, so there's apparently some sort of big thing they're all going to do, and they're all going to have a good time.
If they're going with the Satans, no one is going to have a good time, because he said that dude from the Satans, which is the Satan sadist from the other movie.
Oh, really?
That's my guess. Well,
apparently they still have a good time. These guys do, at least.
Yeah.
Okay, so the dudes all leave, and we cut back to the ladies, and they're driving, and you know they're on their motorcycles. Then we cut to three of the ladies are walking, and they see this guy farming, and they decide, hey, that's something that they want to get into. So two girls help hold him down, and one girl just fucks him silly. So, and he's into rape, Matt.
This is what rape is. He did not really want
it. It's one of those bad ones, too, because it's like, then they make him enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a complete inversion of the other rape scenes that we've seen in Al Adamson's films. It's just an all-girl gang doing it. And this is exploitation at its finest, where you just invert the thing that you know that works and hope that this also works.
And one thing you can say is, like, the thing that he's not, like, comfortable with is the group sex aspect. He was, because he said, you know, poontang's poontang. He said, but this orgy stuff is unnatural. It's kind of what he kept saying.
Right. It's weird.
It's a very weird fucking thing.
Yeah, like, he would have been willing, yet they're holding him down and making him do it anyway. Still qualifies as rape.
Yes.
If this happened to a female and it was...
No, this would be the worst scene of the movie.
Right.
It would be fucking pissed.
Right. But because it's three women attacking a man, for some reason, we're less uncomfortable about it. And that's something that we as a society need to look at, because rape is still rape, regardless of...
Rape is rape. Yeah. No, yeah, you're exactly right. You're not wrong at all. So
we can move on. It just had to be stated, because that has to be the psyops that accompanies the cinema.
That's true. All right. So then one of the ladies gets pulled over by the cops, and they're like, yeah, she's and this is the drug addict one, and they can tell that she's high. But then the other ladies start screaming for help, help. So they handcuff her to their steering wheel. Well, while the cops go looking for whoever's calling for help, all the other girls take the steering wheel off and help her escape. They come into a town, and that is our next clip.
Hi.
Hi.
You're new around here, aren't you?
Yes.
What's your name?
Linda.
Out here with your mother and father?
I don't have any.
Hungry?
No.
Here, take this. Eat it later.
Hey, Parker, who's the little pussycat?
Give it back to her.
You want it, old man? Take it.
I'll think about it. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, Parker, you be sure to do that, huh, old man?
Hi. Hi, Margo.
Hi, love child.
We seem to have a little problem over here.
Hey, Slim.
What do you want?
Can you come over here a minute?
Yeah, okay. What's up, baby?
See if you can free this lovely lady from the clutches of the law.
Sure, baby, I can take care of it. Let's take a walk.
Slim, the name's Terry.
Terry. Terry, huh?
Margo, Sue, Donna, this is King. Margo's an old friend.
Welcome to the commune. You will find peace and love here, and you're free to stay as long as you feel the need. Don't hesitate to call on me for anything, if there's anything I can do.
All right. Well, we see the dudes on their bikes. They're going crazy. It's all like a stunt. It seems like just a getaway to get hammered as dudes and like do stupid tricks on their bikes and all that kind of stuff.
It's a bonding for a 1% outlaw biker gang to essentially be dependent on each other and just having a competition and a good time. And it's all just the male bonding to show that they don't need anything else but their brotherhood. And yeah. It's a way to condition you and make you a part of the gang.
There you go. So then we cut back to the ladies in our next clip.
Hey, baby. King wants us.
Four?
I don't know. Coming?
I think Terry's going to get a sample of King's love cult.
All I have to have is a couple of pills. Life is funny. L. I. F. E. Death. Lying. Janet? dead. My sister's dead. Janet worked with me. She's dead. Drugs are my friend. They make me forget. They tried to put me in a hospital. I ran away. They tried to keep me. I ran away.
You seek peace.
Yes.
You will find it here.
I feel strange.
You feel the peace, the contentment, the love all around you.
I think I do.
Do you love me?
Yes.
Come to me.
Okay.
All right. So that's just like a cult to prey on the weak. So and then we see he has a syringe. So he's about to get her off of pills and onto heroin. And that is the end of that 20 minutes.
Did this ranch look familiar to you in any way, Matt?
It did not.
That's because you are not the Manson enthusiast as I am, who studied and or looked at photos, read the books, and just kind of followed the cult in general. That is the Spahn Ranch. At one point in one of the scenes, you actually see the title of the ranch, Spahn Movie Ranch. This is what I've been holding back for a while. A couple of Al Adamson's films were shot around the Spahn Ranch, including that Busting the Criminal Syndicate or the Hell's Bloody Devils that we watched. There were some scenes that were filmed in the desert area around Spahn Ranch and that. And also the other biker movie, Satan's Sadist, was shot in and around the Spahn Ranch too in a couple of spaces.
Jesus Christ.
It was mostly an abandoned ranch that was owned by an old man who just basically needed some money. This film is unique in that some of Manson's cult is actually in this as cult members in the background.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't know exactly when this was shot, so I can't exactly say, but I can tell you this much. Spahn Ranch burned down for sure in 1973 or by 1973. There are some reports that it burned down before that in another wildfire, although it might have just been portions of it, what have you. But what we do know is that Manson's group lived there from, I think, 67 to 69, but they were definitely arrested around 1969, give or take. There were a few members that were left behind, but the people that were mostly arrested were just fucking arrested, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that Squeaky Frome for a while was still there taking care of the guy so that some of the other family members were living there while Al Adamson's crew shot there and made this specific movie about this specific cult that rings very closely to the events that take place during the Chait LaBianca murders for what Manson was doing on that ranch.
Jesus Christ.
This film is an extra layer of greasy exploitation that he's doing. He's filming at the location where the cult was and replicating some of the things that the cult was supposed to have done that we would have heard about by now because of the trial, and then also Buglioso ended up writing a book, but that was much later that that got released. But anyway, this film really resonated with me because of that, because it became even more creepy and exploitative.
Yeah, it seems that way. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and when you go back and watch Satan's Sadist and know that that takes place around the same area of the Spahn Movie Ranch, and then, well, if you ever go back, I don't know if anybody really actually will, but also the other Busting the Crime Syndicate or Hell's Bloody Devils, where the guy busts up the Nazi ring, a lot of the Nazi ring stuff was shot there at the Spahn Ranch as well.
Ooh, damn. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
There may very well be dead bodies hidden somewhere in the scenes of this film, like in the ground somewhere or like in hollowed out spaces of the buildings, because they are suspected to have killed people on that ranch and made them disappear too.
God damn. Fucking Jesus Christ.
Yeah, what a great way to frame the rest of this fucking movie, right? We were gonna have such a good time, but now that you know that, no, this takes place on the Manson cult ranch, the actual one that they were staying on at Spahn Ranch, and recreate some of the stuff, it makes it that much harder to get through. So let's do it.
All right. The actor dude, he shows up in the town, and that's our next clip.
Hello, love child. Give us a love. Give us another. See you a little later. Hello, Parker.
Hi.
How have you been?
Like, wow.
How are they treating you?
Got an extra cigarette?
That's it?
Thanks. I'll smoke it later.
I thought that was you, Donna. I really didn't expect you to be one of King's chicks.
How come you always say the wrong thing?
Well, I washed my mouth this morning. Can't do a thing with it. Who's your friend?
Better watch out, Margot. Don Juan here thinks he's the only man around with anything in his pants.
Hey, Margot, don't go away.
He can't be that bad.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
Where you been?
You know how it is, King. When you need a cab, you can never find one.
I don't like it.
Maybe I got something here you will like.
Count the studs money, King.
Count? I didn't know you could, Slim.
Yeah, this always makes me feel better.
I figured it would.
How long you figure on staying?
Yeah, who knows.
Hey, Turk, what can I do for you? How about this?
What about them?
They'll be a little challenge.
Well, never mind, Cyrano. I'll take care of that myself.
That girl's not quite dead, but she's mostly dead, right? The drugged out girl?
Yeah, she's mostly dead. She's so stoned out of her mind. Yeah, she's mostly dead.
Yeah, or has a blood poisoning infection from the dirty needles they're all sharing or something.
Yeah, yeah, whatever it is, it's not good.
Exactly.
So then we back to all the dudes, the biker dudes. They're all partying and shit and just being crazy. Then we're back into the town, and that is our next clip.
Hey, Slim.
Yeah, Parker, I want to talk to you.
I ain't going to say it no more. You and King, your people are welcome to stay here, but I don't want any trouble.
What trouble are you talking about now, Parker?
You know what the trouble is.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. What's the problem, man?
I'm taking a big chance letting you stay here.
How much?
You don't have to take that attitude.
I said, how much?
Well, since I know what you're growing out here, I figure I ought to be taken care of real good.
Yeah. Let me tell you something, old man. You let anyone know what we're doing out here, and I'm going to fix that leg to match the other one. You understand?
What's the matter, Parker? Are you all right?
Guess I must have slipped.
Here, let me help you. You feeling better?
Thank you, child.
You're very sweet. Pretty. How'd you get mixed up with this bunch?
Because I believe in everything King says.
King? He'll ruin you. Get away while you got a chance.
Nothing new is perfect. I know how hard it is for others to accept the way we live, but well, in time, we'll succeed. We've got to succeed in spreading love and happiness in the world.
Love, happiness.
For sure, pretty words. Take care of yourself, child.
Thank you, I will.
Man, it's so much creepier after you know it's the Manson cult that they're replicating in the actual environment.
All right, so the boys are now having a drinking contest at the big party, but the boss dude, he's thinking about his lady because he misses her. Back in the town, and the lead lady, she goes to check out the horses and is reminded that they are planning on leaving the next morning. Well, the actor shows up while she's checking up the horses, and that is our next clip.
Remember, I always wanted my own horse. Guess you think that's kind of crazy, huh?
Nah, I don't think it's crazy.
We always lived in the city, my mom and I. My old man took off before I was old enough to remember him. Then when I was 7, this guy that was seeing my mom took us to this place in the country. I actually got to ride this horse called Man.
Man?
His name was Manuel.
And?
And that's it. My mom never went out with any more guys from the country. And then when she died a few years ago, I had to try to find my own thing.
Which is?
I don't know. I haven't found it. I don't know why I'm telling you all.
Maybe because I'm interested.
You are. You're the only one.
Well, then I'm the only one.
Why, you're Turk Larson, the great lover. You could have any girl here, anywhere.
Well, maybe that's the reason. Maybe I'm looking for someone. Someone who can care. Someone who has something inside.
Do you think that might be me?
Why not? I guess it's going to sound like a bunch of crap, but I'm tired of being alone. The way I've been spending my life just isn't getting it. You know, I've been on my own most of my life, except for a brother. I can be pretty lonely. I guess in the last 5 years, I've had 20 different jobs. Everything from washing dishes to being a two-bit actor. It's no good. It's no good becoming somebody unless you can share it with someone. So, I guess I'm just looking for someone. Someone to love. Someone who will love me. I don't think that's too much to grab from life.
I don't think so.
Loving a cult, that always works out great for everybody.
Right? I mean, so nice. All right. So then, you know, they hook up, and then we see Preacher back at the party. He wins the drinking contest. Two of the ladies find their friend all strung out, and they know they need to get help. So they go to the leader saying, hey, we should probably do something for her because she's fucking ODing here. And the leader goes, checks on her, and he wants to take the wait-and-see approach, of course. Then he locks the ladies in the main house with their strung-out friend. The actor Peter is not very happy about it. Then we're back to all the dudes. They're all passed out or hungover. And that's the end of that 20 minutes before we go into the final.
I mean, not a lot to add other than, again, this man's actions very clearly emulating things that Charles Manson was known to have done. Like allow people to die of overdoses and then quietly disappear their body, or supposedly has done, I should say, because some members remember things like that happening that way. But they were all strung out. So how do we really know?
Yeah, allegedly.
Right. But it is suspected that they made people disappear from this ranch for being inconvenient quite often.
Oh, well, yeah, I would assume so, probably.
Right. And there's
they weren't shy about killing people.
Well, there was also biker gangs and a bunch of other people that hung around just because Charlie had a lot of female followers that he prostituted out for money. So
some
people were bound to have been disappeared on that ranch that maybe even Manson's followers didn't even do.
Yeah, right.
Again, all of this on screen for us to watch. Let's move on and finish her off.
Yeah. All right. Well, the leader and the creep dude, they get the old man and they kill him. So he's dead. And the ladies are taking care of their friend who's strung out, and she's freaking out. Then one of the ladies, the main lady, Speed's lady, she's able to get out on a small hole in the house, and she's going to go and find the guys. Well, she then spies on the two guys with the body of the old man, talking about how they'll kill the women too if they don't, you know, just won't get an order. And then she turns around and she sees one of the cult ladies is there with a gun. And then we cut to we see the black lady from the earlier part of the movie. Her motorbike is broken down, and this creepy dude offers help for a little reciprocal payment, if you know what I mean. So after he gets her bike tied up on his truck, he's like, hey, now it's time for payment. She takes him out on the field, and when they're all starting to strip down, he turns around and she fucking clocks him and knocks him out, and then steals his truck. Then we cut to the actor dude tells the two guys they're going to let the girls go. It's not an ask. They're going to let him go. He'll take him out of town. They won't tell the cops anything, but they're all going to be let go. And he gets knocked out for his efforts, and they tie him up. Well, then the other lady who's trapped in the house, she also escapes, and she gets picked up by the lady in the truck. And they're like, all right, come on, we're going to go get the guys because we need all the guys. The two dudes inject Speed's lady with heroin, so she is completely zoinked out. And she's laying on a table surrounded by cult members, and this is our final clip.
It is necessary to take these steps that are painful to perform. Yet by so doing, we rid this child of her burden so that she may be transformed into a pure state. Oh, you believers, members of this commune, here lies the intruder that would destroy the very foundations of our beliefs. We are as one. We must act as one. For the good of our commune, for the good of our philosophy, for the good of our very existence.
Okay.
So they kill her. So she is dead, unfortunately. The next day, one of the biker guys gets there. He's alone, but he gets to the town and he is attacked. But they're all smaller than him, so he's kind of throwing them around. He's having some trouble, but he's holding his own. But then the rest of the crew gets there, and then it's a whole big fight. And really, it's just a one-sided ass whooping. The cultists are just getting their asses whooped. They free the actor, and then the actor says that you know they're all in the main house. So the leader, the Speed, gets into the house. He finds his lady dead. When we cut to the cult leader and his creep buddy are trying to escape. They get into a car to drive away, but actor guy finds them and hops on top of the car. They're fighting for a gun and all this, and there's more fighting, and then the biker's tossed off the car. Speed catches up. He tells him they got away, so Speed goes after him on his bike. More chasing and everything, and through this whole chase scene, the car spears out of control, falls down a hill, crashes and burns. The rest of the gang catches up and they all start to ride off. The actor and the lead lady, they ride off together to be together with a nod from Speed. As they're all riding, Speed remembers the love of his life. Roll credits.
So So I think at one point in time, it's sort of revealed that Speed and the actor are actually brothers and they have this brotherly competition going on. It's not just like brother, like gang member brother, but.
Oh, yeah. Oh, because when he said, I'm looking for my brother.
Yeah.
I guess I thought just gang brother is what he meant.
Like, right. No, I think it's his brother.
Oh, okay.
Brother.
So they're actually related. Oh, yeah. Well, that
which
makes
is,
sense.
Which then. Is why they have that friendly nod, because they have this game of one-upmanship where they pull pranks on each other and fuck with each other and fight.
Like, all right. It's well, like, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's my guess. I don't really know. The film doesn't really like come right out and fucking say that, but that's what I'm guessing they're getting at. Overall, the action in this is pretty great. The fist fights, like I said, they're about 60s Western style, but still serviceable enough and entertaining. This may be the one to kind of return to. I do remember vaguely watching this before on a multi-disc collector set of like exploitation films and thinking, no, it's okay.
Yeah, the only bad part in this movie is the lead actress who's stabbed and killed in the movie. She cannot act. Some of the most bland acting I've ever seen.
Yeah, she's in Al Adamson's films quite a bit, actually.
But she cannot act.
No. Yeah, it's not the greatest ever made film, but as far as Al Adamson's stuff goes, this is upper echelon and entertaining. Like,
yeah.
I would be more likely to return to Satan Sadist, Angels Wild Women, and maybe Hell's Bloody Devils. Maybe. Because there's some crazy weird shit in Hell's Bloody Devils. But also, like, the biker films are just more entertaining. He tried more with those.
I think so.
Even though they're still hodgepodges.
Wonder
stuff.
If he was a biker.
I don't know, but he was definitely the director of the exploitation film that actor was on the set of. I forgot to mention it. That was his gray chest hair puffing out from his shirt when he was walking around.
Oh,
the director of this movie was playing the director in that movie. He was into meta before meta was meta.
Still meta.
Yeah, and I know you gotta go, but can we squeeze a story time and then just whatever we get for the episode is what we get. It'll be as short as it is.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we're gonna take the break here. We're gonna play Melanie with the song Brand New Key. And yeah, this is kind of a deep 70s cut. And then right after that, we'll have a story time. So, sorry folks, here we go. Daisical love story that they tried to throw in with this really dark foreboding film, and I wanted to focus it on that and cheer us up at the end of the movie.
There you go.
And maybe you can cheer us up even further with a story time. Story time.
Story time.
Whenever you're ready.
I literally got nothing. Trying to think here. What's something? I don't have a biker story no more. I kind of already did that one.
Do you have a trapped in a hippie cult love story?
God, I do not, believe it or not. If for all the cults I could have been a part of, I mean, I was kind of a part of what was called the Catholic Church.
I would say go on, but we already know how that story ends and what type of sex for being a Catholic schoolboy.
Hey, my hair was never parted down the middle like that joke from the priest. My hair was parted down the side. My priest said one leg longer than the other. So
you've been telling that joke as long as I've known you, and it just keeps getting worse every time.
Every time. And I always tell that joke. forever. Fuck, they have something good. I did watch a documentary recently about cults and how to become a cult leader. It was on Netflix. It was actually a fairly interesting look at, you know, how these various cult leaders, different ones, became into power, whether through messaging, whether through, you know, who they attracted. You know, the most popular ones were, of course, Jim Jones, Manson, and David Koresh.
The death cults tend to be, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those are probably the three ones who they concentrated the most on. Yeah, I never... God, the one in Waco with David Koresh and the Branch Davidians, that is always one that's... God, yeah, because he was molesting and sexually assaulting young girls. So that's bad. But the FBI just was so, and the ATF were so fucking unbelievably, laughably irresponsible in how they tried to get after him, which ended up probably killing all the kids that were in there. Not to mention the fact that they fucking caked that place. There are still, here's one thing I didn't know. There are still Branch Davidians around to this day.
Yeah, I remember you bringing that up the last like cultish movie that we had where you were talking about how the woman was like still justifying that it was okay for some of the things that Koresh did and everything.
Yeah, it's like when a girl is 13 years old, she can produce babies, so she can be sexually active, and it's like, but she shouldn't be, you dummy. And then she cries because her ex-husband won't let her ever see her children. I'm like, well, your children probably don't want to see you. You defend a fucking cultist, and you still believe in his horseshit.
All right, I got a small story time that I'm going to tell real quick, and I'll
okay.
Just to kind of pad out the episode a little bit. So this is the story of when I had to explain to my mother what cult movie meant versus what cult movies were.
Okay.
All right, so my mom is religious. That's not a big shock to anybody. I was raised in a very religious household, and the particular faith that they were was Nazarene, which is about two shades less crazy than Pentecostal speaking in tongues type religion.
All right.
Yeah, Nazarene's pretty bad for a lot of reasons. I basically shouldn't have been allowed to the tenets of her faith to even be able to watch movies, but she still let me watch them anyway. And when she found out when I was like 13-ish years old, shortly after I got busted watching 100% Weird and from falling asleep in Ed Wood films and stuff, I started getting
a callback.
Right. I got interested in cult movies. And my mom thought that cult movies meant that you had to be in a cult to watch them.
Oh, God.
She totally like was just like, she wanted to make sure, like, what does that actually mean? And I mean, and I was like, well, it's a small but very devoted group of people that are obsessed with a movie. And that's all that it means, that there's a movie that has its own cult or its own followers or people that are obsessed with it. And that's all that it means. And then when she explained to me what she thought it meant, I was like, how would I find movies like that? And she's like, you're not supposed to want to watch that sort of thing. And I'm like,
well, hold on a minute. Don't tell me what I'm supposed to do.
Right. What are you, my mom?
What are you, my mother? And I mean, she's like, yeah. And you're like, right. I should probably stop smoking so much weed.
Right. But my mom was literally really concerned that I was like getting involved in like occult movies, that I was like obsessed with cult things, that I was looking to join a cult and was watching like, I don't know, Scientology videos or something. I'm not sure what she thought or what she was worried about. But like whatever it was that she was trying to describe to me that she feared it was, I wanted to watch even more just because she was afraid that I shouldn't watch that stuff.
Of course. It's fucking awesome.
Yep, and this will definitely end up being the absolute shortest episode we've ever done, but you need to get the fuck out of here, my friend. So what we're going to do is take
we'll fix this next week. Next week we'll have normal style episodes now that we know about time.
Yeah, and we'll schedule a little bit better. That's totally fine. Yeah. So we're going to take the little break here. We're going to play the show Housekeeping, and when we come back, we will have Stephen Steele's with the song Love the One You're With, for obvious reasons on the Pirate Radio edit.
If you've decided you can't get enough of the show and would like to check out more of it, we're available at legionpodcast.com. Just do a quick search for Cinema Psyops, or just enter this entire URL into your browser, www.legionpodcast.com/cinema-psyops-podcast. Also available along with all of the fellow Legionnaires on the Legion Discord chat. And now let's give you a rundown of the memes and how you're going to get them through
Cinema PsyOps. The easiest place to go is to subscribe to our Instagram feed, which is our main meme repository at cinema_PsyOps. Or you could also follow the Facebook page of Cinema PsyOps because they are immediately posted there after they get posted to the Instagram repository. And you can also check out the Facebook group of Cinema PsyOps and the memes are shared there. I am available on Facebook as Court PsyOps because the memes are also shared there as well. Thanks for listening to the show. I still can't believe that you're subscribed to us or here every week just like us. If you can't be with the one that you love, honey, love the one that you're with. Very hippie.
Yeah, I don't know how good of messaging that is because it sounds like you're using somebody.
Well, I mean, yeah, that was the late 60s, early 70s where everybody was using everybody to get off, right? That's what was happening.
Everyone was just a walking fleshlight or a walking dildo at that point.
Oh, man, in all those days, that must have been the glory, the 70s, right before anything that, you know, you could catch would basically be cleared up with a little penicillin, you'd be fine, and a vasectomy would mean the worst sexually transmitted disease, which is children wouldn't have to bother you.
Exactly. No one wore rubbers except for sailors. Filthy beggars, they go from port to port.
While you're out there wishing that Matt would really stop quoting Austin Powers, kick the fuck out of this week and make it your bitch while you enjoy T-Rex Cosmic Dancer on the Pirate Radio Edit.
I'm always going to quote that movie.
Recording in progress.
All right, we have another recording started. And 3, 2, 1. Just a second. Reordering my clips. Now that I'm almost halfway down, I want to move them around on the line. And I'm explaining this so that I don't have dead space that gets cut out later. And then I just have an outtake that I can use later on to pad out the episode. Much like Adamson pads out his entire film. 3, 2, 1. Up first, a sort of holdover from the psychedelic...
Okay. What else was I going to say? All right.
We can move on.
All right.
He just took over the biker gang. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Then we, all right. Sorry about that. Okay. So, fuck me. Come on, Matt. Find what you're looking for here. Don't die.
When's the next 20 minutes hit?
Not for a while.
Okay, I'm just going to
do it. It's actually soon. It's soon.
Okay.
But we have a whole nother clip before the 20 minutes is up.
So. Okay, so when the 20 minutes goes, I will do the reveal thing that I've been talking about, and I'll just put this into the outtakes, and let's move on as if that clip played like normal.
All right.
The actual one that they were staying on at Spawn Ranch, and recreate some of the stuff. It makes it that much harder to get through. So let's do it.
All right. Yeah, because holy shit, I'm running out of time.
Yeah. All right.
Let's see here. So, all right. So, actor. Well, we're back in the town, and one of the ladies, the Speeds lady, she goes, or no, I'm sorry.
Agents Wild Women. Angels Wild Women.
Rubbers, except for sailors. Filthy beggars, they go from port to port.
While you're out there wishing that Matt would really stop quoting Austin Powers, kick the fuck out of this week and make it your bitch while you enjoy T-Rex Cosmic Dancer on the Pirate Radio Edit.
I'm always going to quote that movie.
This will be the shortest episode ever, but who cares?
All right, that happens.
Have a good one, man, and hopefully I got you out of there this early enough.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, and we'll work on it for next week and figure out a scheduling, so, all right.
Yep. Yeah, man, sounds good, man. Yeah, no, they just decided to change shit on us, so.
All right, dude.
But I get to have a life again, so I get to fucking start to work on my certifications and all that shit again, so that's nice.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad for that, dude.
Yeah, it's been a rough couple of years.
All right. That's going to fucking end this so we can let you the fuck go.
All right.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Recording stopped.